Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Get up, everybody, and welcome into Up and Country. I'm Ike Everard, and today I'm joined by Justin McCormick. And Justin, I found him on Spotify. He just has a really great sense of how to make a good party song, and then also he can slow it down. He's got two songs out on Spotify, and he just released one on YouTube. He's 18 years old, so he did online high school because of music, but he would have been, you know, part of this class who's missed their graduation and prom and everything due to the coronavirus pandemic. And the song that he put out on YouTube is really about that. It's about friends and memories, and I thought that it was really good and really powerful. So I was very impressed with that. And it's really impressive what he's been able to accomplish at such a young age. You know, he'll tell you about how he's dealt with that. You know, he has 10,000 followers on Instagram now. He's signed to a label. He's been doing a ton of writing. And the songs he has on Spotify have about 70,000 plays. So pretty impressive success, you know, for such a young guy, such a bright future. And let me tell you, his voice is special. It's very unique. Not really what I thought that it would sound like taking a look, you know, at the picture of him on his album cover, but it's a really cool voice. It's pretty awesome, and he just has so much talent. He'll tell you his story coming up right now. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. What about you?
Not much going on during this quarantine.
Sure, no, you just gotta find out what you can do, you know. What have you been doing?
Just keeping busy, man. I've been doing a lot of Zoom co-writing and stuff like that. And I did a huge release for all the seniors out in the country too. So that's been keeping me busy also. So I've been doing a lot of media for that recently.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really cool. You know, as someone, I mean, I just graduated from high school 2 years ago. So that was a really cool thing to see. I can't imagine what it must be like to have graduation and all that taken away.
Oh, yeah, I really appreciate that, man. And it's been super cool because, I mean, I was going to traditional high school up until last year, but then my schedule was getting busy with touring and just traveling and stuff. So I'm doing online school, so I knew I wasn't going to have a graduation, and I took time to process that, but I know how hard that would be to be expecting it all year and then have that taken away from you at the last minute, you know?
Yeah, right. What was that like to leave high school and go, you know, pursue music full time?
You know, it was a hard decision, but it was a decision. I knew it was right just because, I mean, music is always what I wanted to do. And at school, honestly, most musicians would probably tell you they didn't really like school, you know? And it wasn't a hard decision for me. I knew it was best for my career.
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, you did some great stuff last summer. You toured with some really, really cool singers. What did you learn from them?
Man, last summer was so cool because it was literally my first summer out on the road, you know, opening up for people. And it was a really full circle moment. I have two cool stories. So the first one was cool because my first like show opening up for a major label artist was Dylan Scott, and that was out in Kansas. And he really just taught me like the hospitality of like when you're a headliner, how to treat your openers. Just because I was hanging out with him backstage, and I gave him one of my merch hats as a thank you for letting me open up the show. And he wore my merch hat on stage during his set that night.
That's awesome.
And that was just a cool moment because I want to carry that on for when I'm a headliner. I want to treat my openers with the same hospitality that he showed me. And then my last show of the summer was opening up for Rodney Atkins, and that was like one of my biggest full circle moments so far in my career, because a couple years ago I saw him like a couple minutes from my hometown, and I was in a meet and greet, and I told him one day I'm gonna be opening up for you. And 2 years later, I got to open up for him. So
that's
I got to talk to him about that story.
Yeah, did he remember that?
Super cool moment.
Did he remember that?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he probably meets hundreds of people every night after the show, but I think he acted like he did.
So sure, well, he definitely remembers it now, so that's awesome. Sure. What do you play when you open up? Because you got two songs out on Spotify. Do you play some covers then and then some more original stuff?
Yeah, so actually last summer I had nothing released yet. I didn't start releasing until my first song, Running Back To You, came out in November, so I didn't have anything released yet. We recorded my record in March of last year, and we were selling the physical CD copies, but we just had some stuff going on in the background. So people who bought the CDs at the shows have been hearing these songs for all summer, but we didn't start digitally releasing the songs until November. So, yeah, it was a mix of all the songs I'd recorded and then some covers, too, because, I mean, as an opener, you got to throw some covers in, too, just to get the crowd pumped, you know?
Totally, yeah. What's your favorite cover to play?
Shoot, Man, that's tough. Definitely, I like it. I love it by Tim McGraw. It's definitely one that gets the crowd pumped. And I like to jump. I'd like to jump off the catwalk during that one and go out in the crowd and like high five people and stuff. So that's a really fun one.
Nice, nice. So yeah, your two songs on Spotify, they're kind of different. You know, you got your big party song kind of, and then Running Back to You is a little slower. What do you like about having that variety?
Oh yeah, it's super different. Just because Running Back to You is I think that's really like my main like style of like the type of music I want to do. You know, like the really like rock, Keith Urban influenced country. Mm-hmm. And I mean, as soon as that song was pitched to me, I knew like that's one I wanted to cut, just because I knew I loved that feel, you know, and it was making me feel good in my car. So I knew that the fans were going to be able to relate to that. And then Bentley Paisley Chesney is a super special song to me, just because, so they were obviously Dierks Bentley, Brad Paisley, Kenny Chesney. Those were three of my biggest idols growing up. And my grandpa is actually who got me into music. I would play in his little basement music room. And I brought him down to Nashville to play steel guitar on the track. So that's a super special track for me, and it always will be. And it's basically my ode to them, you know?
Right, right. No, I love that, because, I mean, you know, I'm 20, so I grew up listening to those guys. But then a lot of, you know, country singers who are big now are, like, grew up listening to, you know, some big 90s guys who I don't connect with as much. So it's fun to see a new generation now where that's
right,
the influence.
Sure. Like, you hear those guys talking about, like, Keith Whitley and stuff like that.
Exactly.
And like, the next generation's going to be talking about these artists. But it's actually super cool. On release night, Brad Paisley DM'd me on Instagram and was talking about the song, and he dug it. So that was super cool for me, too.
That's awesome. You going to open up for him someday, then?
I mean, that would be super cool. That would be a super fun tour to be on. I know he pranks his tour mates a lot, too, so I'd have to be on radar for that.
Yeah, that would be fun. Hey, maybe get a remix with all three of those guys in that song.
For sure, I'll get him playing guitar.
There you go. Remix. Get a little harmonica maybe from Brad.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Yeah, so take me through that. You said that that's a special song to you, and with how you started playing music and your grandpa and everything. What was the story behind that?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm from South Bend, Indiana, and my grandpa has always played in local, like, 90s country cover bands, you know. And so, like, literally as soon as I could talk and walk, he'd be sneaking me into the clubs that they'd be playing in. And so I was just I grew up around 90s country, like Brooks and Dunn, people like that. And he would practice in his basement music room. And we would literally go through this whole Brad Paisley album, the Time Well Wasted album. And that would be our set list. And he'd bring his band lights down. And I just felt like a rock star down there, you know. And after a little while, his band would start bringing me up, like literally six-year-old me, and have me sing in the club that they were playing at. And so that really got me into the country scene. And as I got older, maybe around 10, I started playing locally, doing like fairs and just like little festivals and stuff like that. And I mean, it was awesome. It was super fun and really taught me about performing. I think I've always had the niche of being a performer. Live performance has definitely always been my favorite thing to do, just because the energy that you get on stage is a high like no one else can experience, you know. And that's really where I got my start until November of 2018, a music exec down in Nashville, Bernard Porter, he's the guy who was very influential in getting Jason Aldean's record deal. He found my stuff on YouTube, and he got in contact with me and then brought me down to Nashville and signed me into PCG Nash. And so then ever since then, I've started going down to Nashville. I come back and forth between Nashville and South Bend, and I have the most amazing team around me now, and it's been going great so far.
Yeah, so what's that been like? I mean, only 18, you know, what's it like now to have 10,000 followers on Instagram and, you know, over 70,000 streams on Spotify?
It's super cool, man. It's never something that I always have thought that I had it in me, you know. I've never been someone that, like, I feel like from a young age, I feel like I've always known that I was going to do music, you know. I've never thought I was going to, like, have, like, a real job, you know.
Yep.
And so it's cool to just finally see it, like, come to real life, you know. I always saw it in my head, but just seeing things like slowly start to take off and just start building day by day is just a super cool feeling, especially at a young age.
So, yeah, you say you're doing some Zoom co-writes over the past month or so. What have those been like, and have they been for your stuff, or have they been for songs that you can get cut by other artists?
Both, really. I mean, as songwriters, you're always writing. I mean, some ones you want to keep for yourself, and I mean, if you can get a major label artist to cut your song, obviously you're going to take that, you know?
Yeah.
But the Zoom nights have been different, you know, because I was wondering, like, how it was going to be, because I've never really been someone to write songs by myself. I've always been a co-write type person. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how it would be writing in the setting of my in my bedroom, you know, because it's just something about being in Nashville. You have the creative, like, just spirit around you. And it's actually been going really great, and it's just I have just as much fun as I do down in Nashville doing it.
Really? So you don't think that it, like, interrupts the flow at all?
No, I think the train hasn't stopped moving. Corona can't stop the train, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. What's your favorite lyrics that you've written during quarantine?
During quarantine? I think definitely the song that I wrote for the class of 2020 was definitely a special song. I think that the hook of that song is super cool. Friends and Love Will Last, and You Can't Take That. Because I think this whole song plays on to that, even though, like, we're going through a hard time right now, people are going to come out stronger than this, because later on in life, they're going to remember that we need to really cherish the memories while they're in the making, so we can, you know, just come out of this stronger.
So did you write that one alone, or did you co-write that with someone?
No, that was co-written with Doug Cahan. I write a lot with him. Okay. He's probably my favorite. Me and him, like, write the most, and they say that, like, you always find someone that, like, you have chemistry with, and, like, that's going to be your person. That's me and Doug. Like, whenever I go in to write with him, I know that I'm going to get a hit song out of it, you know?
Right, right. No, that's awesome.
What were you going
to
say?
Oh, I was going to say, are you a guy who listens then to, like, a lot of country music, or do you kind of have a variety, like, on your Spotify?
It's definitely all country. I mean, there's some 80s rock in there, and some older, like, rock, like Elvis and stuff, but no, it's mostly all country. But it's a wide variety of country, you know?
Sure.
I've never been the person that hates on, like, contemporary country or anything like that. Like, I've never understood. I mean, I understand people that, like, are really attached to the traditional movement, you know, and stuff like that. But I think there's always a place for everybody in country music, because that's what country music is storytelling. And it doesn't matter what type of beat you have behind it, if it's an acoustic drum set or an R&B drum set. If you're telling a story, that's what country music is.
Yep, I agree. But I talked to a lot of guys, and they're like, oh, you know, I listen to some hip-hop, some R&B. You're not like that.
No, I mean, I think that Sam Hunt's new album is one of the best, like, songwriting albums that's came out in a long time. Like, if you listen to the lyrics on that, he's an insane writer.
Yeah, no, he is. He tells a story so well.
Yeah, like, I don't know if you heard Breaking Up in the 90s. That's
I love that song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a creative lyric, too. And for someone to say that's not country, that's just crazy. Because, I mean, the pop songs don't have that deep of a lyric.
Oh, right. No, totally. I just love the way that song goes, you know, from the talking into the hook. And it's just kind of so catchy.
Right. I mean, yeah, his whole album's like that, man.
Yeah, no, it really is. So who would be, like, a dream collaboration for you?
There's a couple, you know. Like we talked about, I think Jake Owen's one of my favorite artists. I'd love to write with him. I love his creativity. Frankie Ballard's always been one of my favorite artists. I love his just, like, rock-esque that he has to him, and I've definitely tried to, like, model the way I dress after him and stuff like that. But then definitely Brad and Kenny also.
Right, right. I mean, a remix of that song with them would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Got to get the wheel spinning on that.
Yeah.
So you're from South Bend. Are you a big football guy?
Yes, Notre Dame all the way.
Yeah, well, I'm out here on the West Coast, so Pac-12 for me, but I hate USC, so I'll give you one.
Hey, I'll be your friend then. I wasn't going to bring up football because I didn't want to get on the whole Arizona State football thing.
Right, I mean.
Nah, Notre Dame. I don't know. Hey, if you're not USC or Michigan, I have nothing against your anyone's program other than Michigan or USC. I'm all good.
There you go. Well, yeah, certainly not a USC guy. You know, we beat them hopefully more times than they beat us, but
ASU's actually a super fun. I want to go there on a football weekend sometime. I've seen, like, recap videos, and you guys know how to party.
Oh man, it's a good time. Yeah, it really is. It's hot, but it's fun.
Oh man, yeah.
We beat a lot of people because the heat. It happens.
Yeah, because that's the same way with South Bend. Is they come in and it's snowing in October here, and then they don't know how to handle it, you know?
Yeah. No, I saw on your Instagram you played the Notre Dame USC tailgate last year, right?
Yeah. It was kind of a bummer. It was supposed to be outside. It was going to be a big block party, but then, like I said, it was snowing during football season, and so we got moved into the basketball arena.
Oh man, I mean, that's kind of cool though. You get to play an arena show.
Yeah, because I get to say I played the Joy Center, which is super fun, and the hometown crowd's always a fun crowd to play in front of.
Oh yeah, would you say that they're the first people who embraced your music?
Yeah, for sure. South Bend's always backed me, and I'm always going to be there for them. And same with, like, anyone that's ever supported me in South Bend. Like, my high school, I want to give back to them when I get to, like, the height of my career, you know, and just South Bend in general. I'm never going to forget about my hometown.
Yeah. So how old were you when you played your first, like, solo show?
I mean, like I said, I started doing, like, talent contests at, like, 10 or so. But I feel like I didn't start doing, like, full sets until maybe, like, 12 or 13.
Okay. Do you remember what the first song you ever played was?
Oh, yeah. My first, the first song I ever remember singing in my grandpa's basement was How Am I Doing by Dierks Bentley.
Okay.
That's one of his, like, but the first one I used to do live for all my talent competition was Joy to the World by Three Dog Night. That was my go-to talent competition song. So I did a lot of, like, rock covers back in the day.
Yeah, nice, nice. And it's interesting to me because when I first heard your music, you know, it's not exactly how I imagined your voice would sound. You have this really distinctive low voice that
a lot of people say that.
They say that
I sound a lot older for my voice too.
Yeah, no, you really do. It's really cool. How did you develop your voice?
When I was younger, I did a lot of, like, I mean, as a young singer, like, in grade school, there's not a lot of big opportunities for you. So about in, like, second grade, I did a lot of, like, theater and stuff like that, and that really helped vocally train me to be able to do what I do today. But I mean, it's a growing thing. You never stop learning to train your voice, you know.
Yeah. What age did you stop doing theater?
I mean, I did it up until I did the last production at my high school last year before I transferred out of my old high school. So I guess up until last year, but really I was just doing it because, like, my high school expected me to at that point. I wasn't doing any, like, community theater at that point.
Right, right.
And at that time, and even the last show I did with them, it was really, like, I felt that it was, like, competing with my schedule in Nashville, and I couldn't give my time to both things. And country music's really what I love. It was just that the school expected me to do the shows, you know. And I mean, I wanted the shows to be as good as they could for them too, so I did them, you know.
Oh, totally. What role did you have?
The last show was Guys and Dolls. I played Nathan Detroit.
Nice, nice. So would you say that it obviously helps your voice? Does it help your stage presence too?
I think that I've always the director told me, the local theater company I used to do shows at when I was younger, he made this comment one time. We were, like, doing a scene, and he's like, Justin's always funny. It doesn't matter what he does. So you got to, like, match him on the stage. So I think I've always had the stage presence. I'm just able to make scenarios funny, you know? So I think that did help my stage presence in a way. But I've always just kind of, like, had it in me, I think, with a little bit of stage presence.
Yeah, but you never had a thought to, like, I'm going to be an actor instead of a singer.
No. But, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I never, like, thought of myself as being, like, a Broadway actor or anything like that. But I feel like I definitely, like, once my music gets to the point where I'm like, okay, this is, like, it's at its peak, or, like, you know, and, like, I'm coasting off good and, like, everything's going well with that, I wouldn't mind, like, being, like, Tim McGraw, who does, like, acting on the side, and Trace Atkins, he does acting. Like, I would see myself doing TV shows and movies, like, once I get to a point in my music where I'm like, okay, cool, I can, like, maybe, like, take a year off and do a movie or something like that.
Right, and I'm getting maybe a little bit of a Dierks Bentley Hot Country Nights kind of vibe.
Dude, that album is so funny. And, like, listening to the interviews that he does, like, the stuff he says is just hilarious. Like, his stuff with Bobby Bones is just so funny for that.
Oh, I know. What would be your Hot Country Nights alter ego?
Well, I definitely want to get the clothes that he wears. I love his, like, vintage head tennis jacket. I want the clothes. I don't know what my name would be, though.
Right, well, hey, get on that. Maybe you could hop in for a song.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be awesome. So, yeah, so you did theater, and then did you play sports ever, or were you all theater music?
No, I always played every sport.
Okay.
I mean, from literally as soon as you could start playing sports, I played baseball, basketball, football, up until high school, and then high school is a lot more competitive than grade school, obviously.
Sure,
so
yeah.
I didn't play anything in high school, but, I mean, up until my eighth grade year, I played baseball, basketball, football, and, I mean, I was okay. I mean, I was never bad, but I was never, like, the star, like, player, you know? Like, I was just the guy, like, you could put in, and you knew he wasn't going to screw up too bad, but he wasn't going to, like, win the game, you know?
Yeah, no, good place to be, though.
Yeah.
So you really did everything. Did your parents push you in a direction, or did they kind of just let you pick what you wanted to pursue?
No, it was always, they wanted me to just do whatever made me happy. And, like, I remember from, like, sometimes, like, coaches or, like, directors from, like, when I was younger would be like, you know, you should really make him choose so he can, like, give all his focus onto one thing. But my parents were the ones that were, like, picking me up, like, the second practice got over to, like, drive me to a rehearsal and stuff. Like, they wanted me to do as much as I could until, like, I figured out what, like, I wanted to give all my focus to.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, I mean, if you had committed to one thing, that'd probably make you less well-rounded as a singer, because you want to have that life experience to talk about.
For sure. And I mean, being an athlete too, people don't realize how much like athletics and like nutrition and stuff like that plays into being an artist. You know, like that's something like you focus on like as an artist. Like people think that rock stars just party and do whatever, or like just like musicians in general, but like you have to focus on your nutrition. Like if you can't be out there like sweating like July days, like doing sound checks at 2 p.m. and be out of shape, you know, like you got to take care of yourself. And, like, nutrition and doing sports, like, back in the day has really helped me, like, know how to focus on that while on the road or just, like, on long studio days and stuff like that.
Right, and if you're playing an outdoor show in South Bend in the summer, then, yeah, you better be in shape.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, too. Like that Dylan Scott show I was telling you about, like, the allergens were terrible in the air that day. And, like, that really, like, helped me, like, realize, like, man, like, I really got to, like, now my pre-show, the day before a show, I know to drink like a gallon of water before so I can, my voice can be fully hydrated. And like, I'm really focused on taking my allergy medicine and stuff like that. And it's not just allergens. Like when you go out west, like there's big, I'm sure you know this in Arizona, like there's huge changes in elevation and that can really mess up your voice. Like when you're going from city to city. And so like, that's really something that singers have to be conscious of on the road.
Totally. Do you get bad allergies?
Oh man. Yeah. But I mean, up until last year, I'd never been on medicine before. And now I'm on, medicine, and that's, I mean, it's under control now, but I mean, up until like last year, I just like dealt with it, so now I'm all good.
Yeah, I feel like that could be a problem because you're going to all around the country, different pollens, yeah. And everything, it's gonna mess with you.
For sure.
So what's next? You got the two songs out. Have you been working on an album or an EP or anything?
Yeah, so we like I said, when we were in the studio last March, we have two other songs that we recorded when we were in the studio then that are already done. One was going to come out this month, but we're pushing it back because it was a fun party, like, summer song, and, like, we just felt like it should wait until people can actually get out and party to it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm not sure when that's going to come out, and there's another slow ballad song, which I'm really excited about because, I don't know if you know the writer Jimmy Yeary, but Jimmy Yeary wrote, he, like, won a Grammy for I Drive Your Truck and Anywhere With You by Jake Owen and stuff.
Okay.
And I had the honor of writing with him, and after our write, he, like, pitched me this song. And I loved it ever since. It's kind of like got that cop car Keith Urban type feel. It's like the only ballad we went in and recorded last year. And that's probably going to come out as the fourth single that we recorded. And so those are all set to release. And then in the fall of next year, if the pandemic cools down, I'm set to do a high school tour called the Peer-to-Peer Tour. Nationwide, we're going to go to high schools and just promote diversity in schools. It's going to be a huge concert in the gymnasium, and it was supposed to happen this spring, but now it's pushed back to the fall of next year, so that's gonna be super cool.
Cool, yeah, that's a really awesome idea. It would have been cool to do while you're still high school age, but I mean, you know, it'll be still awesome.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is gonna be my first tour like with an actual bus and everything. Like before, we were just going from city to city, but this is gonna be like a full like bus tour. It's gonna be super cool.
Yeah, no, that's sick. Hopefully that can happen in the fall.
I know. I think it's just one of those things. If it doesn't happen, then it's just going to be pushed back to spring. Like, I think it's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Just the time doesn't know. We don't know the time yet, you know?
Right. And it's a great idea. Yeah. So definitely that would be cool.
And two, just, I think that I love the concept behind it because it's called peer to peer. And it just, I want students to know, like, because I mean, growing up, like, people treat you differently doing music in school and stuff like that, especially being a guy. And I want them to know that it's okay to, like, do whatever you're passionate about, no matter what it is, like, sports, music, like, literally anything. And, like, going into high school at such a young age, like, doing this concert, I think it's a really cool concept, and I'm excited to promote it and just do it.
Yeah, and that's something that I think really gets pushed in high school is, like, you know, there's all these expectations and things. But, yeah, once you kind of move past that, you get some more perspective, and it's really clear, like, follow what you want to do.
For sure. And I feel like, I mean, in grade school, like, I kind of let people, like, talking to me, like, affect me, you know, but, like, at high school, you just get to an age and you're like, you know, I'm just going to do my thing. You
exactly.
Know?
That's so important. So for you then, are you going to go to online college, or are you just going to stick to music, or what's the plan with that?
Right now, I think I'm just going to focus on doing my music. I'll probably make the full move to Nashville instead of commuting back and forth so yep. much, like monthly, you know. I'll probably move down to Nashville just so I can keep writing more and more and just keep taking my career to the next level.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then when you're in the studio, would you rather do a ballad? What's your favorite kind of song to do? Because you got the party songs. You mentioned you had another one coming, but what do you...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I like the Stadium Stompers, the Rocker songs. You know, those are the fun ones. And I got a lot of those written that are, like, next time we go in the studio, those are the ones, like, you have so many to choose from. Like, you're sitting there with your producer, and you're like, damn, which one do we do, you know?
Yeah.
And so, definitely, the party ones are definitely the ones that I feel like I write the most. But I have a really, my favorite song I've ever written is this really cool ballad that I'm excited to share within the next couple of years.
So definitely someone to watch out for in the next couple of years, like he mentioned, that album hopefully coming soon. And that tour sounds really cool, man. The tour to go around the country in a bus and just go to different high schools and, you know, encourage people to follow their dreams and play music. Just awesome. You know, really target that audience. Love to see it. So Justin got a bright future. Love the football talk. You know, we'll see. Maybe ASU will play Notre Dame someday, hopefully. Hopefully in a big stage like college football playoff, you know, if we're lucky here before too long. But yeah, man, I think he's got a bright future. I think that what he brings to the table is pretty special and unique in today's era of country music. You know, I love what he said about embracing everything and not hating on contemporary country, even though he is a little bit rootsier and a little bit more classic, because that's how he came up with his grandpa and everything. He doesn't, you know, hold any ill will towards bro country necessarily or the more contemporary thing. So I think that's pretty exciting. And I think that that is really the future of the genre. You know, you can do what you want when you want it. And that is what's going to bring country music back to relevancy, is the storytelling and just the diversity that's present within the genre. So Justin McCormick, you know, bright future. Definitely keep an eye out for him on Spotify. Those new songs hopefully coming out here in the next couple months once things start to settle down. And that is it for this episode of Up and Country. Thanks for joining me again. I'm Ike Everard, and I'll see you next week.
For more, make sure to check out Up and Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep that bacon.